this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Welcome to Unleashed, your home for the web's best political news analysis. I'm Dr. Ted Noel, and I'm glad you could join me. In 2022 and in 2020 and basically every even year, there is an election. And we have had, shall we say, a bit of screaming and hollering from both sides about the elections. We were told that the 2020 presidential election, which Donald Trump supposedly lost, was in fact the cleanest and most pure election in history. It was as clean as the wind-driven snow. There was no hint of fraud anywhere. Well, maybe not quite that much, but you get the idea. The Democrats and the RINOs all said everything was totally honest, above board, no questions. You couldn't have any problems. And anything Donald Trump said to the contrary was, in fact, a lie. In matter of fact, they stole the title, The Big Lie, and applied it to the idea that the election was stolen. Of course, in the years since then, the evidence has accumulated that, in fact, the election was stolen. No question about it, stolen by a huge operation that Joe Biden flat out said, we have the best voter fraud organization in the world, or something to that basic effect. But that raises a question. What is an election? And we have to start with a definition, because you can't say we had a perfect election if we don't know what an election is. Just no two ways about it. Now, I wrote about this back in 2020, between the election and January 6th, in an article on a place I used to write for a lot called American Thinker, titled, It's Up to Vice President Pence to Decide If an Election Was Held or Not. And the issue really is, did the event on November 3rd of 2020 qualify as an election? You heard me right. It happened on election day. But was it really an election? And we have to go back and look at it and say, what are the elements of an election? Well, it's a counting of votes on an issue that's been placed in front of the voters. Does it mean anything different from that? You know, it could be an initiative. It can be an election of a person to an office. That's what the voters are supposed to decide. And as we go through that, we have to say, what is in fact a vote? Because an election is a counting of votes. And in a moment, you're going to see why I'm making such an emphasis on this. A vote is a preference expressed by an eligible, properly registered voter in the time, place, and manner prescribed by the legislature. Okay, there are a whole bunch of elements in this. First of all, you have to have an eligible voter. And that means you have to have a citizen of a particular jurisdiction, in my case, Florida. I have to have lived here for a certain period of time. I have to be of voting age. I can't be 16 years old and vote. I have to be over 18. I have to stay in my particular location. I've lived in the same house for over 30 years, so this is not an issue. But some people, let's say they were in an apartment, they changed apartments. If they don't re-register, they are not properly registered. They may be otherwise eligible that they moved into the new place, but if they haven't been in that jurisdiction long enough, they still can't go. Let's say somebody is going to vote on an Orange County commissioner, and they just moved into Orange County from Seminole County. Well, if they haven't been in Orange County long enough, they can't vote for Orange County commissioner. You know, you begin to get the picture. You have to be here long enough to qualify as a resident of wherever here is. You have to be of the appropriate age, and then you have to register to vote. And what do you have to have in order to register? In the state of Florida, you have to have voter ID. And before anybody goes screaming about that, you know, photo ID has been approved by the Supreme Court. It is not racist. It does not suppress votes. It suppresses false votes, and we'll get to those in a minute. Basically, it says, here I am, here's my driver's license or whatever else I use to show you that I am me. I live at this location. I've lived here for this long. And then I can sign on the line that says I want to be a voter and I'm now registered. I can be Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, no party affiliation, doesn't matter. I make all of those choices and I get the appropriate sample ballots at the appropriate time. And then I can go down and vote. Now, in Florida, I think we have 2 weeks of early voting in person, and you can get an absentee ballot if you say, I won't be able to get to the polls within that time window. There are other places where during COVID, they just sent ballots to everybody. And there are some states like Oregon is one that comes to mind, where every voter gets a paper ballot. Well, guess what happens? It's real easy to send out paper ballots, and we'll talk about that more after the break, where those ballots can be diverted. But the election that I was writing about was the presidential election. And essentially what I said was, VP Pence needs to look at Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, states where it's very obvious that there were problems. We had in Detroit, they hung up cardboard on the windows so nobody could look in, nobody could see what they were doing. That was obviously a way to hide fraud. In Atlanta, they had suddenly, we had this flooding from a toilet. No, they didn't. They didn't have anything of the sort. And there were four or five states all at the same moment stopped counting. And all at the same moment restarted their counting. Well, officially. In Georgia, they pulled out ballot boxes that had been hidden under a table, took them over, and we have video evidence that they ran these ballots through three and four times to puff up the count. So they had gimmicks there. We know that in Georgia, there were ballots being stuffed in drop boxes. Now, by law, you can put yours in a drop box, and you can put a family member's in a drop box. But we know, we have incontrovertible evidence that mules, people who were paid to do this, went to multiple locations with drop boxes and put 8 or 10 ballots in this one, went over to another and put 8 or 10. We have them on video. It's in the movie 2000 Mules. We know exactly who these people were, but in fact, all of this was ignored. We know, for example, Professor Alex Halderman from the University of Michigan, in 5 seconds in court, used a Bic pen and a smart card and completely changed numbers on a counting machine. We got lots of things going on. It was easy. I mean, he did it in full view on camera. Here, you push this button here for that reset button. Hold it 5 seconds, pop it out. Now you can plug in your smart card and it'll take whatever choice you want. So we've got a lot of things that went on, and none of this, in spite of what the Democrats tell you, none of this was ever judged in court, because the court said, well, you don't have standing. You don't have standing. They went and basically threw everything out because they didn't want to look at it. So when we come back, we're going to explore more about how Democrats cheat. We'll go to where the nitty gets gritty. But as we go to break, remember that you can get articles, podcasts, and pertinent news on AmericaOutloud.news. You'll always find the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who put God and country first.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back. And while I'm happy that you're listening to my voice, don't listen to just me. We have many excellent hosts, both on Unleashed at 7 p.m. on weekdays and on topical podcasts available on demand. Also, don't forget to spread the news about America Out Loud articles and podcasts. Become active patriots who make a difference. Let's do everything we can to keep the truth alive. It's time to go deep into ballot problems and how the Democrats stuff the ballot box. Now, I'm not going to say that no Republicans ever do this, but the ones that get caught are the exception. And frankly, they don't do it very much. This is an industry for the Democrats. And at this point, it's important to understand that the Democrats don't care about votes. Democrats want ballots because they can turn ballots into votes. And ordinarily, the ballots that they get have to go in some fashion with a so-called, quote, voter's name on them in order for them to exist at all. So what happens is the election office prints a ballot with the name of a voter and mails it to his address. That's how this happens. If your voting rolls only have properly registered eligible voters, those people are going to get the ballots, and the handful that get siphoned off one way or another won't be enough to matter. But the Democrats have learned how to fix this. And the big expert on this is Jay Valentine. Now, Jay Valentine is a big data guy. And unlike voter integrity people who've discovered big data, he comes the other way. He's a big data guy, understands big data, and he understands voting as well. But his cred is pretty big. For example, he created the fraud detection engine for eBay. Yep. You heard that right. Nobody thought you could find fraud in auctions, but they found it. And then Jay Valentine's group went on. They found all of the data that proved a RICO case for one of the biggest insurance companies. They figured out how to create the TSA no-fly list. They investigate Medicaid fraud. They do all of this with big data. And they are building a database of illegal campaign contributions through money laundering. For example, lots of Democrats get all of these contributions that are $1 less than the minimum that has to be reported from people who didn't even know that they got support for a given guy. The money came, was listed as from this voter, but actually somebody else was shuffling it and sending it through. You know, so he's doing this kind of stuff. The guy knows what he's doing. And the big issue here is that the Democrats want ballots. So the key issue here is you have to create, quote, voters. You have to have registrations. Now, there's another guy by the name of Art Zark. And if you go to Substack and look at the Zark files, you'll see his discussion. He's been doing this just for New York for several years. And in New York, it's done through what's called cloning. You'll take a legitimate voter and you may change his birthday. Now he's a new voter. You may leave his birthday and change his address. Now he's a new voter. All of these things, there's several tricks like this, and you end up creating, and Art Zark has found over 1 million, you heard me right, over 1 million fraudulent clone voters in the state of New York. Well, that's enough to swing pretty much any election. And when you're looking at it outside of the city, you're in the areas where Republicans ought to be winning, but they're not. I'll guarantee you that a significant number of those clones who aren't real people have been voting. But let's look at some of the things that Jay Valentine has been finding. There are lots of registrations, and we think about dead people voting, people who have not been alive and they're still voting. You know, as the sign says, when I die, don't let me vote Democrat. That dead people voting is real, but it's not a big percentage of what's going on. If you had a close election, it might make a difference, but it's not enough. It's not where the money is. Instead, there are several places. For example, people who've moved away and have not been removed from the voter lists. There are literally thousands many thousands of those. And you have to take them off the lists. If you don't clean the lists on that, we'll see what happens in a minute. You have, for example, he found one case where there were 20 people registered at a 7-Eleven. That's not a residential address. But 20 people are supposed to get ballots at that 7-Eleven. Interesting. Hundreds and even thousands who are listed at an apartment building address, but no apartment number. Hundreds at empty lots. Now, what is the common feature on this? You're able to take time and register a lot of voters, so-called voters. You're able to register names. Don't have to be names of people, just names. And addresses. Don't have to be residential addresses. You have all of these things that happen. And the Democrats will come in and they will register somebody at that locale. And they will create hundreds of thousands of these if they do it on a regular basis. You know, I might say I'll do 8 or 10 today, or I'll do 5 tomorrow or whatever. Democrats will pay for this, $5, $10 a ballot, whatever. They'll pay something. They are paying vote collectors. They're paying people to register so-called voters. And if these people turn in names that aren't real, who's to know? But Jay Valentine has built his undeliverable ballot database showing literally millions upon millions of these kinds of phony registrations. And there are so many databases that it's a piece of cake to cross-reference. Now, a good registrar of voters would be using this technique to reject registrations that don't fit. For example, if he were to just go look and say, well, no, that's a commercial address. You know, you have a database and it says this address, that's a commercial address. Nope, no good. Throw it out. Or that one has, that's an apartment building. No apartment number. No good. Throw it out. Those sorts of things would thin out most of what's going on and could easily be done. Even my home state of Florida doesn't yet do that, but it wouldn't be hard. Technologically, it's a piece of cake. If Jay Valentine can do it using other databases like, you know, residential tax rolls, commercial tax rolls, on and on, it would be no big deal. But what happens with all of these mail-in ballots? First of all, most people who get mail-in ballots are able to get to the polls to vote. They just use it as a convenience. And states need to reinforce their laws. For example, Wisconsin, if memory serves, has a law that says you must be physically unable to get to the polls in order to get an absentee ballot. Well, in 2020, that was violated. When we go on with this, you end up with a whole pile of ballots that can't be delivered. That's why Jay Valentine calls it the undeliverable ballot database. They go to your local post office. They get sorted, and the post office says, I don't have a valid delivery address here, and they toss it into the undeliverables bin. What happens now? We have a problem, because all of those ballots, which look like legitimate ballots, but are being sent to phony voters, are in this bin. And oh yes, what party do most post office workers belong to? Oh yeah, they work for the Democrat Party. And so if they get a chance to pick up a few hundred extra dollars by taking this bin over to the local Democrat office, who's going to be any the wiser? So, you know, my little post office a couple of miles from me gets 500 of these. That'll fit pretty nicely in a couple of those little plastic bins. They put those in their little truck. They go deliver them to the Democrat Party office, which says, thank you. And the Democrat Party office now has people in there who fill out those ballots for their guys. And then they scrawl something that looks like a signature. Aha, here's the next step. You need to now have people in the elections office who are willing to actually do the signature matching. We know, for example, in Arizona in the 2022 governor's race, that the number of ballots that were rejected for bad signatures was about 2 or 3%, when ordinarily it ought to be about 70%. That's right. It should be a big number, not a tiny number. And the reason is you are attempting to take out fraud. Now, you don't throw them away. You stack them under lock and key. And you may send a note to each of these addresses waiting for someone to answer back and say, I really did vote that and you're not counting my vote. But that's not happening. Those ballots, remember, the Democrats don't care about votes. They care about ballots. They get ballots in their hand and are able to take them and turn them into what look like votes, stuff them in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and then these all get dropped off at the post office. As a matter of fact, the same worker may go pick them up, and they don't even have to come across the desk or through the mail slot. He may just pick them up, stick them in the back, and start, you know, sending them over to the elections office. That'd be no big deal. Nobody would be any the wiser, because nobody who wants anything to be clean is involved. But there's one other little one that Jay Valentine found that was truly inventive. In the last presidential election, he found out, work with me here, he was getting data from elections office on a daily basis. He paid for that data on a daily basis. And so there were a large number of ballots that were supposedly sent out to real people. Okay? Where one digit in the zip code got changed. Well, when that happens, you now have an undeliverable ballot. Oh, yeah. That now goes over to the local Democrat office, which takes care of things just like we talked about. They open it up. They vote it for their guy. Fold it back up, scrawl something on it that looks like might be a signature, and hand it back. The problem you've got is, how do you catch this? Because the day after these are mailed out, those zip codes got switched back. So if you didn't have all of the electronic record today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you wouldn't catch any of this stuff. All of these things are going to become Democrat ballots. Now, the key feature in all of this, they are undeliverable. They get diverted by post office workers over to the Democrat office. Now, start thinking about this. How many votes does it take to swing an election? Most local elections, a couple thousand votes will do the job. presidential elections. Well, in the state of Florida, you're going to have a real problem because we actually have cleaned up our voter rolls fairly well. And we have 500,000 more Republicans than Democrats registered. So there's a pretty good chance Donald Trump's going to win Florida straight up, no question. So they're not going to put any effort here. But Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Oh, Pennsylvania. The Democrats got universal mail-in balloting through their Supreme Court, even though the Constitution and the legislature had said, no way, Jose. Oh, but this year they finally had another hearing on it and said, no, that wasn't legal. Yeah, it's, let's move forward. Nothing to see here. And these people get away with it again and again because we aren't looking in the right place. It is crucially important that we look in the right place. And if the Republican National Committee is not doing this precinct by precinct work to clean things up, then there is no hope for Donald Trump. And Jay Valentine says it's really very simple. There are 15 counties in 7 states that are going to get flipped this way. And that's going to do everything. Think about it. How many thousand votes difference was there in Michigan? Well, the final official tally was a really close race. You know, just a few thousand. Before that midnight shutdown, Trump was leading by a healthy margin. So they knew how many ballots they needed to create. And this is the other way. If they have access to printers, they can print ballots. And this is what happened in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, and so on. These are places that we have to go street by street and go up to the registrar of voters with the cameras running and say, Mr. Registrar, we have a list of registrations that are from non-residential locations. We have a long list here that need to be taken off of your rolls. And we've had this happen at least once where a registrar of voters simply said, I don't have time to do that. Well, guess what? That's his job. And the next step, of course, is to go to court. You don't give them a chance to run away. You have to get them on camera. You ultimately will force them to clean things up. California. Almost every county in California had more registered voters than it had adult population. That one was so obvious, there's no question. But you still have to go street by street to get rid of the excess real problem that we've been talking about. Does that mean we can win the Senate in California? Does Steve Garvey have a prayer? California is 80-20 Democrat. We clean up the rolls, it might be 60-40, but still, that's a huge hill to climb. We just have to wait and see how it all comes together before we claim victory. But we now know the place that has to be searched is the registration list. And it has to be searched for any undeliverable ballot. Remember, Democrats care about ballots. If they have ballots, they can vote them for their guy. If they can't get those extra ballots, it becomes a lot harder to cheat. Doesn't mean they can't do it. But then we also have to make sure that we put multiple GoPro cameras in every elections office. We record everything. We come in, we change the cards when they run out. We change the batteries and so on. so that we have a full video record of everything that goes on in those rooms. You cannot afford to have anything less. After the break, we'll talk about isms. So don't forget to tune into our other great hosts. And we have specialists in almost every field you need to know about.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Wow, I just took my first supplement of Healthy Cell Heart and Vascular Health, a new offering. It comes in a bright new red package. You can't miss it. Red for heart health. This is, again, the Healthy Cell Microgel technology. It has 32 milligrams of niacin in the form of niacinamide, which is 200% of the daily requirement, vitamin B6, folate, which is methylated folate, vitamin B12, magnesium, 100 milligrams of magnesium citrate. I commonly recommend that for heart patients. 100 milligrams of potassium citrate, which is a small amount of additional dietary potassium. 1 gram of soluble fiber, which is amazing to pick up a gram of fiber just in the supplement. Beetroot powder, ahi flower seed oil, aronia berry juice concentrate, coenzyme Q10. We recommend that for so many patients on statins. Vitamin K2, grape seed extract, and resveratrol, which is the active ingredient that's in red wines that's so beneficial for heart disease. It's all in the Healthy Cell supplement. I'm so excited. I will be recommending this to my cardiovascular patients. It's quick to take. It's readily absorbed. If you go to America Out Loud Talk Radio, the website platform for our show, click on the banner bar for Healthy Cell, and that'll lock you right into getting a discount on your very first purchase of Healthy Cell Heart and Vascular Health Supplement.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
I'm back with Unleashed, and this time we're going to talk about isms. Yeah, racism, sexism, sizeism, etc. classism. And one of the problems we've got is in medicine, and being a doctor, that's something I think I know something about. Now, there is a big field of genomics, which says we are going to learn from the Human Genome Project which genes are associated with what diseases. And yeah, we know a couple of them, but we don't know very many of them. And frankly, the race, which is a poorly defined item of a person, tells us more than genetics do. Isn't likely to stay that way forever, but here's the point. It gives us information. And yes, you have the question of a white woman marries a black man, their kids, are their kids black or white? I'm not going to go there. The point is that they have some risk that they inherit from their black father and some from their white mother. It's just the way it is. And it doesn't matter who we're talking about. Whatever you get comes from your parents, at least in part. Now, there are some diseases we'll talk about down here which are not what you got from your parents, at least not completely. So let's take a look at what we got. And I would highly recommend that you subscribe to the website of Dr. Peter Attia. It's Peter, ATTIAMD.com. And he talks about this in one of his recent newsletters. And he says, I'm just going to read the paragraph because it's important. When it comes to predicting health outcomes, more information generally leads to better predictions. Yet the American Heart Association wishes to throw away a valuable data point. What he's talking about is that the American Heart Association is trying to throw away race as one of your screening factors for heart disease. Yes, distinguishing between races creates a potential for discrimination, but some potential will always be there since removing race from a coronary vascular disease risk calculator does not remove race, parenthesis, a variable defined largely by appearance, in paren, from existence. It's still there, in other words. Further, the logic of reducing risk of bias could just as easily apply to exclude nearly every other risk factor as well. Collecting information on a patient's sex creates the opportunity for sexism. Oh, yeah. Is that transgender male, a male or a female? I can't even keep them straight to start with. Forget about what they mean medically. The issue medically is how you were born, not what was, quote, assigned at birth. It's literally, what are your genes? Are they two X's or an XY? And so on. Or as my mom would say, inside or outside plumbing. Further, the logic of reducing, okay, could apply to every other risk factor. Recording a patient's weight creates the potential for sizism and discrimination against those who are very obese or very underweight. Asking for information on education history or other socioeconomic factors could lead to classism. And yet we don't eliminate these variables because, and here comes the key point, despite the risk of whatever ism, those variables all facilitate better, more informed clinical decisions. Now, the medical school I attended is in the process of going woke, and it's very disturbing because it's a religious school. I went to Loma Linda University in California. It is run by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they firmly believe in Paul's statement in the New Testament that in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, etc. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, guess what? They're saying we're not all one in medicine. Well, they're going exactly the wrong way. They're trying to take away things. They're trying to teach people so much about, oh, if you worry about this guy as black, you're going to discriminate against him and give him poor care. No. Let's take a look at some of the things that happen due to race. And in this, remember, as Peter Attia says later on, race is an imperfect indicator. Race is going to someday be replaced by you've got XYZ gene that says this thing and you're likely to have that disease. We don't have that information yet. And until we have that information, we do know, for example, that blacks have a higher risk of high blood pressure than whites do. It's a fact, and facts do not care whether you believe them or not. It is a fact, and it is crucially important in taking care of patients. The first thing you want to look at early on in blacks is, do they have high blood pressure? And I've seen some pretty severe high blood pressure in blacks in their 20s. You just don't see that very often in whites. It is a fact of life. Sickle cell disease, almost exclusively in blacks. Multiple myeloma is increased in blacks over whites. Now, I lost a partner in my medical practice due to multiple myeloma, and he was white. Doesn't mean whites don't get it, just blacks get it more often. Crohn's disease. My sister-in-law has Crohn's disease. She's white. But Crohn's disease is more common in blacks. And when you are trying to sort out, do you have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, it's worth asking the question. You're black, maybe we ought to look more for Crohn's. Okay, let's look at some others. Sephardic Jews, beta thalassemia. That is a hemolytic disorder. It's a blood disorder. It's not a leukemia. It's a red cell disorder. It's a kind of anemia. Familial Mediterranean fever is also more common in Sephardic Jews. And this is an autoimmune disease. It affects all of what are called the serous membranes in your body. Can get your joints. One patient I took care of, it got the lining of her abdomen. And talk about one sick puppy. Glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase deficiency is more common in Sephardic Jews. It can cause a hemolytic anemia. Here we are, another cause of anemia, along with familial Mediterranean fever and beta thalassemia. And then you get glycogen storage disease type 3. Now, the glycogen storage diseases, I'm not going to go through a whole litany of those, but those are bad problems. And they are race related. Proper treatment of patients requires that you look at some of these factors and assess them before you decide that you're going to run away from them. And just, oh, no, I'm not looking there. You know, keep my eyes closed. It's kind of like the police say that, oh, we had an Asian guy attacked, and he was attacked by a black guy, so we won't say it was a black dude who did it. You know, we see this all over the news. If a white guy shoots a black guy, it's all over the news. Black guy shoots a white guy, you never get a peep even on the back page of the paper. This causes problems in tracking down crooks because you can't identify the crook by his physical appearance. I mean, that's the first thing that you use in identifying your crook. The physical appearance, which we're calling race, is a key fact in how you deal with patients. The thing that makes it difficult to deal, for example, with black patients is that many of them are from a different social group than white doctors. So the language they speak has a different meaning. I won't call it Ebonics, but depending on where they come from, it may have a different meaning. And I worked with a black urologist for years. He and I were good friends. And in medicine, English. He was raised upper class in Birmingham, Alabama. And he spoke good upper class English. But he also understood the Black community because he predominantly took care of Black men in our area. And so he understood it. He spoke the language and he dealt with it. And he was able to interact with them effectively. I would have more difficulty than he did because I didn't have the social connections that he did. And notice the difference. We're not talking race, we're talking social. But when it comes to that body, you cut the skin and inside we're all the same color. But Black guys had more high blood pressure. We had to deal with it more often. It's just the way it is. Another group, South Asians, ulcerative colitis, nasty, nasty colon disease. Let's go take a look at Asians and Pacific Islanders. Here's another one where I've got the numbers. And by the way, if you want to look this stuff up, go look up PubMed. It's like Club Med, only it's PUB Med. It is open access to virtually all of the medical journal articles in the English language. It's run by the Library of Congress. And, you know, it's all standard medical format stuff. But if you want to take the time to dig through, you can learn a lot about a lot there. And it's open access. Okay. You don't have to pay to get there. PubMed. Asians and Pacific Islanders. Okay, here is a different group. They typically appear a little bit different. I don't think any of us would have any difficulty identifying a Maori and or many of the Polynesians. They get type 2 diabetes at a lower body mass index than the general population. The Diabetes Society has set 25 as the body mass index number where we screen for type 2 diabetes. Unfortunately, in Asians and Pacific Islanders, it needs to be at 23. And in just the state of Massachusetts, if you screened at age 23 for those people, not for the general population, just Asians and Pacific Islanders, you'd find 6,000 more cases of type 2 diabetes, which brings us to another point. Type 2 diabetes happens when you get fat, almost exclusively. If you have any questions about this, read the Diabetes Code by Dr. Jason Fung, F-U-N-G. Very well-researched book. And type 2 diabetes is a dietary disease, pure and simple. Now, there are a handful of people who have a tendency to accumulate weight a little easier than others for genetic reasons, but by and large, anybody who's using that excuse is giving you an excuse, not a reason. Type 2 diabetes comes when you eat too much carbohydrate for too many years. Remember that insulin is a hormone whose purpose is not to lower blood sugar. Yes, it does lower blood sugar. Its purpose is to store fat. It lowers blood sugar by pushing that sugar into fat cells to be stored as fat. As a result, we now have fatter fat cells. And pretty soon, the fat cells scream, "Uncle, we've had it. We don't need any more. Don't put any more there." And if you keep eating the carbs, you just get fatter and fatter, and you become insulin resistant. That is an extended step in type 2 diabetes. It is purely a dietary disease. So if you want to get rid of your type 2 diabetes, the answer is high fat, low carb diet, and intermittent fasting. You eat foods that do not promote you eating more of them. Carbohydrates never fill you up. Fats do. And fats also do not harm you in any way, but that I'm getting off the track. The real key here is you need to get your body mass down. And the only way you can do it is by burning fat. And the only way you can burn fat is if you have low insulin. That's the end of that story. And the easiest ways, like I said, are high fat, low carb diets, and intermittent fasting. Your insulin is the lowest when you are fasting. When you get up in the morning before you've had anything to eat, your insulin level is low. You are burning fat. Keep it going. You'll burn more fat. And remember, once again, here we go. We're going to go sizeism. We're going to get really evil. You are fat shaming me. No, I'm telling you the truth. And by the way, the truth doesn't care if you believe it or not. It's still true. If you are morbidly obese, you now have the same risk of coronary disease as someone who smokes. Suppose you smoke and you're morbidly obese, you just doubled up the risk. And of course, type 2 diabetes has its own problems. If you keep staying fat and you need more and more insulin substitutes or even insulin later on, kidney failure comes along. Atherosclerosis is a big issue with heart attacks, strokes, blocking of the arteries to your legs. And guys, look up something called Lerich syndrome, L-E-R-I-C-H-E. That's another problem that comes from all of the type 2 diabetes. And then let's add women. Oh, I'm going to be sexist. No, I'm telling the truth. Morbidly obese women, and count on it, I did a lot of obstetric anesthesia. They have a huge risk of pregnancy difficulties. Huge. They have a huge risk of ordinary menstrual difficulties with amenorrhea, dysmenorrhea, you know, polymenorrhea, all of those menstrual dysfunctions. They may not be able to get pregnant very well. And then once they do get pregnant, their risk of cesarean section goes up dramatically. Oh, yes, I told you I was going to talk about isms. Well, guess what? I'm not racist. We don't have systemic racism. But if we fail to recognize race as a medical predictor, we are giving away part of what we have to use in order to take care of patients properly. Until next time, this is Dr. Ted Noel. Remember, it's the message that matters.